Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Legendary Frogcast. I am your host, Joseph Blanchette, and Dustin Watts is here.
Mostly always.
Mostly always, and with me sometimes always is Randy Keepers.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey. So this podcast is going to be a little bit different. We haven't had like a general themed episode in a while. They've mostly been like reviewing stuff or... mostly it's reviewing stuff, but this podcast we're just going to have a general discussion about our five favorite video games.
What kind of inspired this podcast is originally that it was supposed to be just for the Super NES because this is the 20th anniversary of its release
25th,
in the US.
Isn't it?
25th? No, it's 20th.
Yeah, it must be 20th.
No, 20th. It's 20th. I'm positive it's 20th because it came out in 91. Do your math, people.
Do your math. Yeah, and I was like, I don't know how much I could talk about the SNES, but if I could talk about,
because you were a little bit late to the race, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I got into SNES after like Donkey Kong Country, basically, and everything I played was kind of retroactively. So, I decided to meet halfway and just do a general video game podcast, like what games kind of defined our liking gaming that maybe changed the way we think of games or even affected us outside of playing the game, which some things on my list has. And just games that are just really good and we just think are important games to us or to the industry at large. Mostly for us.
Oh, yes.
So what we're going to do is we're each going to tell us... Oh, we're each going to... talk about our top five, and then our top four, and three, two, and then our number one games. And we'll have a little discussion about them. So, even though I'm the host, my name is first on the list, so I guess I'll go first.
Of course.
My number five game is actually a game I wouldn't call like one of the best games I've played, but it's Jak 2 for the PlayStation 2. And it's a sequel to Jak and Daxter, which was a well-made platformer in the vein of Mario 64. But for the sequel, they totally revamped it, and they kind of did the thing that a lot of people did back in the day. It was to make it all edgy and dark and add guns. And that's literally what they did. They took the bright and cheery platformer and gave the main hero a badass mullet, guns, and made it into post-apocalyptic future.
It made it open, made it kind of, yeah, sandboxy.
Completely changed the kind of the layout of the game. But the game itself is actually really rewarding. They upped the difficulty. In some cases, too much, but it's not an easy game. They added a whole bunch of character to it, which is, I think is what drew me most to Jak 2, is the cast of characters in it.
Yes. There's a fine Naughty Dog's has continually proven themselves to be good at making characters for their games.
Yeah, and
including the
Uncharted.
Uncharted, because well, what we've heard, because we have even
no, no PlayStation 3. You ever play a Jak game, Randy?
Yeah, I played Jak and Daxter like forever ago, but
yeah.
But like, I only played the first one, and then I played the one that was released on the PSP, which was
Daxter.
Just the Daxter one. Yeah, it's,
I heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, they make a reference to hot coffee.
Well, the real reason Jak 2 is on my list is it I drew a lot of fan art of it, and it kind of helped me develop a style that kind of led into the art style I use, like, today. So, like...
Continue to use,
yeah. Like, the kind of square eyes and long faces. Kind of, I mixed that with, like, penny arcades. And I kind of, like, evolved it into my own a little bit. But, yeah, Jak 2, I think it's a better game than Jak 3, definitely.
Yeah.
And, it, like I said, even though it's not one of the best games I played in the overall list, since it affected my art so much, that's why I put it on my list, number five. Okay, so Dustin.
All right. Sonic, my number five game is Sonic 3 and Knuckles. A lot of people are saying, of all people would be asking, well, why didn't you put Sonic 2? Now, I'll admit,
Dustin, why didn't you put Sonic 2?
Well, I will admit Sonic 2 is probably the better game, but Sonic 3 and Knuckles is what made me a fan of Sonic. It's what finally drew me in and just cemented myself in that fandom. But at a distance, because a lot of the Sonic fans are bug nut crazy.
Was Sonic 3 Sonic and Knuckles, or was that Sonic 4?
Sonic 3 and Knuckles is still technically, it's actually what Sonic 3 was supposed to be originally, but they literally had too much going on.
So you're talking about Sonic and Knuckles, not Sonic 3 with the card attached to it.
No, I'm talking about Sonic 3 with Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I consider it the complete game. It is not.
You're confusing me a little bit here.
It's the definitive Sonic 3 collection. Yeah.
You have Sonic 1 through 3, but then you also have Sonic Knuckles, correct?
Yeah, Sonic and Knuckles was actually basically what was left from Sonic 3 that they weren't able to put in the original.
Oh, so you're counting both games in this?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're the same game. They were released a year apart, but they're part of the all same game.
Okay.
So
this game got you into Sonic.
This game may not have got me. No, it firmly planted a Sonic in my heart as part of one of my favorite game series. Now, I will admit it has had some rocky parts.
It's had some up and downs.
It's
Sonic games.
Sonic 06 for one.
The reboot of the Sonic franchise.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the one with
Okay, here's the thing. The game itself actually wrote itself out of continuity, so that's what everyone else...
It's like at the end of the game, they realize, oh crap, we shouldn't have made this, so let's just erase it.
Pretty much. It shouldn't have happened. And... but yeah, Sonic 06 sucks, and blah blah blah, yeah, you get it. But there are people out there who've said more about it than I have.
Yeah.
And will. But
Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic 3 and Knuckles... I consider it is my personal favorite Sonic game and my number five game that has affected me.
Okay, good deal. Randy, what's your number five game?
Number five game is Primal Rage. I know,
Primal Rage.
I'll explain it. Okay, so Primal Rage was a 2D fighting game that was trying to capitalize on the fame of Mortal Kombat, where it just had ultraviolence. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing was is that the ultraviolence came in the form of giant dinosaurs.
And monkeys.
Yeah, yes. It was an odd game.
Well, you could consider it odd, but imagine if you would, me, Randy, 7 years old, and I see on the screen, you know, I played Mortal Kombat. I'm like, yeah, Mortal Kombat's so cool, all I play is a ninja. And, like... At the time, I was obsessed with dinosaurs. I loved dinosaurs so much. And then there's this game that was like, it's like bloody like Mortal Kombat, but with dinosaurs! And so, like, I played it a lot. Like, I'm not even kidding.
You ate the villagers to regain health.
Yeah. We even, like, I figured out, like, almost every fatality in the game. I mastered all the characters in the game. Like, whenever I play Primal Rage with my friends, with a port or something like that, because, like, the Midway Arcade Treasures 2 had it, and that was, like, 90% of the reason why I bought that stinking game is because it had Primal Rage on it. And I'm that guy when it comes to Primal Rage. It's like, really? I didn't even have a chance. What? Now you're doing a fatality? Come on, Randy. You're such a jerk.
Memorize fatalities in Primal Rage. Okay, I have something to admit. I own three fighting games on my old computer. One was One Must Fall, 2097.
I think everyone at one point or another had that game.
Two was Street Fighter 2, PC version. Like, basic Street Fighter 2. And three was Primal Rage.
And, like, whenever I'd play at the arcades, I used to play Talon a lot in the arcade, the Velociraptor, because I think he is the most broken character in the game, because he like could stop what he was doing and go right to something else. Like I don't know if the programmers intended for him to be able to do that, or that he was just, they're like, so you know what we should let him do? He should be able to interrupt himself mid combo and go into a completely different combo and like frustrate the person that he's fighting against. And so like, and like the fact that he could keep doing his moves in extreme repetition, it was just like he had this attack that he turned into this ball of claws and teeth, and he'd just go right towards the enemy. And like, depending on the version of the game, the Super Nintendo version, projectiles went right through him when he was doing it, while like the Genesis version, he'd get hit by it. But like a couple versions, the arcade version of it, because the arcades have updates and stuff like that. In the newer versions, he does get hit by projectiles, but in like the first release of the game, it's like doing the spin kick that Ken and Ryu do in Street Fighter, because projectiles just go through them when they're in the middle of doing it in the first versions of Street Fighter 2. So like whenever I had a friend who'd be like, oh well, I figured out a fireball move, and I'm like, all right, and I just do this thing, and it was like it was the most easily spammed move in the game, because in Primal Rage, you don't go down forward punch to do attacks. You hold the punch button and then do the command, like the down forward motion, and it does the attack. So it was like you hold two buttons and you spin the D-pad, and you're just this ball of rape running across the screen.
So, I mean, you would probably admit that Primal Rage wasn't the most polished fighting game. So why would you put it on this list? Because it was one of your... Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll explain. When I was little, my dad was a trucker. So, like, I would hang out in, like, bowling alleys or gas stations and stuff. And I think at the time, if you ever went into an arcade at, like, a gas station or anything like that, I'm not joking, you would have, like, these were the mandatory games. It was Primal Rage, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Mortal Kombat 2. It was just mandatory. So, like, my dad would be like, here's $3, go play an arcade game while, you know, he'd hang out, you know, in the cafe or something while I, you know, trot off. So, like, my most fond memories of making a kid start, like, drop to his knees and start crying as he crawled away while my dinosaur was ripping his dinosaur to pieces was in gas stations and bowling alleys playing.
Oh, you were that kid.
Did he have kids lining up, putting their quarters on the console? Like, and you were just like, okay, who can beat me now?
Yeah, that's the way I was in just Primal Rage, though. Like, when it came to Mortal Kombat 2, man, I got the crap kicked out of me by any Tom, Dick, or Harry. But, like, in Primal Rage, I was king.
Imagine if Primal Rage, like, was successful and, like, Mortal Kombat wasn't. Like, what if we were playing Mortal Kombat 11 right now? I mean, Primal Rage 11 right now or whatever.
I know. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, like, a cast of, like, dozens of dinosaurs just beating each other up.
If only.
Yeah. All right, so,
let's move on.
Let's move on to, number four on our list. Kind of cheated on this one. I put two games because, not necessarily because I like them both the same. It's just whenever I think of SNES platformers that are my favorite, I think of two games. I think of Donkey Kong Country 2 and Yoshi's Island.
Both are very good games.
Mm-hmm.
Both great games.
And Yoshi's Island is definitely the more innovative of the games. Because it has like the egg mechanic and like how like getting hit doesn't kill you and honestly it has a better art style, it has more of a personality, it has more charm. Donkey Kong Country 2, well, the graphics at the time were just like groundbreaking, and the music is one of my favorite soundtracks. Donkey Kong 2.
Oh, definitely. That was definitely good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. And all these games came out after kind of the rebirth of the SNES, after Donkey Kong Country, like the original. And, like, after that game, like, There were some really good Super Nintendo games came out after Donkey Kong Country.
And even some that didn't even come out in the U.S. that were good.
Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a lot to say about it, but Yoshi's Island is just really innovative. It has some great level design, has some great graphics.
And, like, I think the final boss fight against Baby Bowser, when he gets all big and stuff, that was, like, a point in gaming history where, like, oh, no, get away.
Oh, and when you touch a fuzzy and you get dizzy, that was awesome. I loved that. And it changes the music and the screen.
Yeah.
It's all, like, the old tripped-out version. Yeah, and, like, and I would probably put a... As a third, Kirby All-Star on here, too. And that came out after all that. I mean, that's just another excellent example of a platforming.
Kirby All-Star.
Yeah.
Kirby All-Star. That game was ridiculously awesome.
Yeah, and,
I'd like to... Can we throw in Kirby's Dream Land 3?
Well, you can.
I just like to mention it because not only... It was the last hurrah of the Super NES.
That was on Super Nintendo?
Yeah, that was Nintendo's last Super NES game.
Was it better than All Star though? Because All Star had some pretty cool stuff in it.
I wouldn't say necessarily. I put it on the same level as All Star, but not necessarily better. It was prettier though.
I've never played it. I kind of forgot it existed, to be honest.
It was definitely a work of art for a Kirby game. Definitely worth checking out. And I'm gonna put that in my runner-up list.
Oh, we just talked about it, so that's good. What would your number four be, Dustin?
Legend of Zelda: Majora's Mask.
A black sheep of the Zelda franchise.
Yeah, I agree that it was definitely underrated.
Underrated and underloved, but dear God, this game. I felt for this game. This game drew me in. It was you got to know these people. You got to live their lives. You got to help them out from day to day.
Exactly.
Very few games do that, and it was fascinating.
Yeah, like you follow each villager, like doing their own routine in the 3-day cycle, and you could alter it in certain ways to get events done. This was Nintendo taking a risk, and they usually don't take risk with their games.
And I think it ultimately paid off, and I would very much. In fact, there is a petition going on right now. It's demanding a 3DS port of Majora's Mask.
You know what? I think the 3DS would totally benefit from that too. I don't know why people hate on it so much. Like, I really like
it. It's a pretty simple reason. It's how you can't really save during the game properly. And like you could be doing a dungeon and run out of time and you have to do it all over again. I mean, I think that's why most people don't like it.
But there's a way to slow down the time to pretty much. Well, that's pretty much not a problem.
Yeah, but for some people.
No, that's. I don't know.
Yeah, man, so the follow up to Ocarina of Time. Yeah, it was pretty good. I don't think I got into it as much as Ocarina of Time, but I definitely did almost everything in that game.
Isn't that like the second Zelda game ever to have like a continuous. Like it was actually a. legitimate sequel in of itself to a Zelda game.
Yeah, it falls like right after Ocarina of Time.
Well, that's the thing. Most people don't seem to remember that Link, Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, immediately followed the first Zelda.
Yeah, that's why I said it was the second. That's why I said it was the second one too.
Well, it's the third because Link's Awakening takes place after Link to the Past. Although there's timeline.
Oh, does it?
There's like timeline theorists that say that isn't the case, but.
No, let's not get into the theories.
We almost did that in that Zelda podcast that we never finished recording, and then we were just going to go insane trying to.
Yeah, that's why that's part of the reason why that podcast never happened.
Yeah. Majora's Mask. I should really replay that game sometime.
The only problem is, if you're going to play it on a port, most of the ports of that game have just blown.
Yeah, I know that collector's disc has like a disclaimer at the start saying you may have problems. I know I started playing it and it crashed about a half hour in.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally say this for any system above the Super NES, but I would honestly tell you, actually, I don't even know what the emulation status is on Majora's Mask.
It's one of those Rampack games, so.
Oh yeah.
That's probably why it has some problems.
Perfect Dark and all that business.
Yeah. So Majora's Mask number 4. Randy, what's your number 4?
It might be obscure, but people who know what it is like know it's awesome. But it's another fighting game because I'm a huge fighting game buff. But it's Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus. The reason why is because
it's a fighting game, right?
Yes, it's a fighting game.
It's not just a fighting game. It's one of the premier fighting games.
It's a really, really good, fighting game. It really takes a lot of traditions that come from a lot of fighting games and just throws them out the window. And it's like,
doesn't it still see regular tournament play?
Sometimes, yeah, I think so. Because, like, it's such a solid fighting game with such a very, like, it's an extremely diverse cast. And, like, a lot of the characters are very heavily influenced by references to heavy metal, like, in general.
Which reminds me, the soundtrack to every single Guilty Gear game is made of awesome in Lynn.
Yes, every single Guilty Gear soundtrack is, it's all heavy metal. And it's so good. Like, it placates to my every desire in a game. Because it's got solid gameplay, awesome soundtrack, likable characters, unique characters, and it's definitely if you look at that, that is my like poster of an almost perfect fighting game. As a matter of fact, it's very close to perfect to me.
This is one of those 2D hand-drawn
games,
right?
Yes, it is.
Did we mention that the art in this game is gorgeous?
The art in the game is absolutely beautiful. It's a really good game.
Is this a series with Morgan in it, or is that...
No, that's Dark Souls.
This is the one with Bridget.
We'll show you who Bridget
is. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Have you ever heard of Blaze Blue, Joey?
Yeah, I was about to say, is this the...
Yeah, that's the people who made Blaze Blue made Guilty Gear. But...
This is their... Blaze Blue is kind of the spiritual sequel.
That's what I thought.
Guilty Gear. Kinda.
I really wish that they'd make a legitimate sequel to it. Like, and I'm not talking about Guilty Gear 2 Overture, because that game makes me so mad. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're talking about where they took a fighting game franchise and turned it into a strategy game?
Exactly! Oh my gosh, who makes that kind of a left turn? Seriously.
You gotta admire them for taking such a big risk.
Yeah, but it's like they took everything that was great about Guilty Gear, threw it out the window, and then spat in my face as a loving fan of Guilty Gear. I tried really hard to like Guilty Gear 2, but Guilty Gear 2 didn't like me back. It was like, you're good at Guilty Gear 1? Or the Guilty Gear games that were, you know, 2D fighting games? Well, you know what you can do? You can go screw yourself, because this strategy game... It is the hardest strategy game you will ever play in your life. Really? Yeah, it's going to be overly complicated. The micromanagement is going to be so horrible that some of the most dedicated StarCraft players in Korea can't keep up with this game. And it's like, this is so hard. Why? This game is so needlessly hard. Here, let me try playing it on the easy difficulty. No, the easy difficulty will destroy you still. I'm like, well, isn't there any way I can practice in this game? No! You're not allowed to practice, because you're not going to get familiar with the controls until you've gotten beaten so bad that you never want to touch this game again. And I'm like, why, Guilty Gear, why?
Randy,
but at least
Randy,
it sounds
Randy,
awesome.
Randy, 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 I need to rein you in, buddy. you've gone off under Randy.
So you don't like Guilty Gear 2?
No, I don't.
So, hey. Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus is the pinnacle of 2D fighting games for you.
It's very close. Later on the list, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Right.
Moving along.
I'm sorry.
Moving along. Nothing to see here.
Just 2D fighting games. Nothing to see here. Okay, this one's actually a pretty modern game, and it's really for the entire series. But I have Mass Effect, and more really Mass Effect 2 as a better game, but just the Mass Effect universe in general.
Yeah. We have to. It's on my runner-up list as well, but I wish I could almost put this as BioWare in general.
BioWare.
Because.
BioWare are a bunch of pimps, man.
Seriously. Even back, going as far back as Baldur's Gate.
I mean,
I was going to say, basically, like, I really like BioWare in general, because they're like, these NPCs, they matter. You have to love these NPCs.
If
you do anything to upset these NPCs, you know, you're going to have consequences. Now, like, my consequence for not loving an NPC in Mass Effect 2 was that character died. I don't really care, because I don't like them, but...
Morden, why did you have to die?
Oh, yeah, I love Morden.
That's
Morden.
Okay, Rex is dead in my main playthrough.
Rex is dead in mine, too.
Am I the only person who got Rex to live?
Well, I mean... I think I've discussed this with Mass Effect, but like, I wanted to see what would happen if he died, and I saw it, and I said, "No, I'm going to live with this," so I kept him dead.
Yeah,
I'm going to, if I get the chance, I'm going to play through Mass Effect 2 again, and I'm going to let, and Morden will live.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I have a Mass Effect game that's about halfway through, and I'm going to let Rex is alive in that one. But yeah, Mass Effect, I can probably talk about this game without even mentioning the game, like the actual gameplay part of it, because it's a good third person RPG game, but the real draw here is just like the story
the characters, and
the universe, the backstory, the connections between the characters. I mean, this is more in depth than Star Wars, to be honest.
This is BioWare at its best.
I mean, I don't even think a Dragon Age had, well, maybe Dragon Age comes close to a backstory, but this is definitely more interesting to me personally, because it's a sci-fi and
not just any sci-fi, classic, almost 80s, late 80s, early 90s, like Babylon 5, Star Trek Deep Space Nine level stuff.
Yeah, and they found a nice balance between like the Star Trek and Star Wars part of it, even though it's a little more Star Trek, but
it's got quite a bit of Babylon 5 in there too. Don't forget that shit.
Yeah, and some people liken it to a Blade Runner, some aspects of it too.
Oh, this game's got feelers and all kinds of sci-fi. Mm.
And I'm praying that Mass Effect 3 lives up to my expectations.
Me too.
I hope EA doesn't, you know, turn it to crap.
Well, I don't really think AA would go, make it crap. But
they've done it before. Look what happened to The Sims.
Like, a lot of what happens
to
The
Sims is, The Sims is exactly the same as it's always been, as far as I know.
Like, what I really like is, I like how, to me, that's what appeals to me sometimes. You see, I have a very short attention span. It's probably why most of my favorite games of all time are fighting games. But like Mass Effect 2, it was the only game I've ever dedicated. Well, no, it's not the only game I've ever dedicated. Okay, it's the only game that has a story that I've dedicated more than 24 hours to. Because like in my single playthrough, I had 24 hours of gameplay, and I'm like, "What? Where did those go? How did I do that?"
This is one of the only games where I've had, like, just, like, discussions to my friends about, like, just every little detail about it. Like, we've discussed, like, the history of species and how they evolved, why they evolved like that, and we're talking about intricacies of the plot and story and the characters.
Like, Joey will tell you, I actually pretty much camped over at his house playing that game. Pretty much nonstop.
Yeah,
like a whole weekend.
And I let him because, so like, Dustin, you need to play Mass Effect 2. I mean, this is just one of those games you have to play.
And like, when I was when I played Mass Effect, like Mass Effect 2, usually, like, I don't get too attached to characters in games because, like, I guess I have, like, this connection problem sometimes with characters where, like, I'll love a character so much and then they'll die in a very anticlimactic way. Like, I played Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. There was a character I loved in there. He was a monk, right? And I'm like, yeah, awesome monk. He's kicking ass, taking names. He doesn't give a crap about the undead. And then he dies. He just gets his head chopped off.
He doesn't get his head chopped off.
What was it?
One line, he gets squashed. He gets squashed completely. Another, he just sort of dies. And then the third, his head explodes from the sheer insanity. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, and I was like, that was the moment, the very moment that I, like, turned off the GameCube and was, like, not touching that ever again.
That's sad, because the rest of that game, the game gets, it's, the game is pretty awesome.
If a character dies in Mass Effect, it's usually your fault.
Yeah, so, like, when I was in Mass Effect 2, when I was, like, okay, I'm making sure this character doesn't die. I'm going to buy them anything they need. Anything. Here, Morden, you can have that Omni-Tool. That's all right. Hey, Krogan shotgun, here you go. There you go, Grunt. And Grunt's like, hey, thanks, man. I'm like, I really like being involved with, like, the character's culture and, like, stuff like that. So, like, what things I would do to, like, impress Garrus or impress Grunt, like, I punched a Krogan in the face, and I'm like, what are you going to do about it? You got problems? And then Grunt was like, hey, man, that's pretty cool. But I liked impressing my character, like, my team and stuff like that. So I really liked Mass Effect 2 because I wasn't afraid to, like, get attached to the characters and be like, I love these guys. These are my favorite. And then Jack died, and I'm like, serves you right.
Mass Effect series, more specifically Mass Effect 2, very good.
Yeah.
It's definitely my favorite game in the past 5 years or so, Mass Effect 2.
It's definitely a great one.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Alright, well, moving on, I guess.
Number three?
Mega Man Legends.
Three? Oh, too soon.
must swallow rage.
Okay, sorry.
He's about to pull out some nerd rage on us.
So, Mega Man Legends was that for the
okay, you know what? No. Okay, this will be the only time I ever talk about Mega Man Legends 3.
Okay.
Capcom.
Well, I'll have to bleep that. Oh no.
Oh no, censorship.
But seriously, anyway. Seriously though, that whole situation is made of. You know what? No.
That's it. You're done.
I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the good things. I'm going to talk about Mega Man Legends and Mega Man Legends 2 because this series is awesome. It took a series that was mainly a platforming action shooter, you know, Mega Man, fun games, apps worth playing. I've talked about all of them for hours on end. And I'm going to plug podcast here. Seriously though, I've talked about these series. I'm not going to really talk about this all too much because I have spent hours talking about this series. And if you want to go listen to that, it's back at my Mega Man's podcasts, all right, four of them.
Previous episodes of the Frogcast, you can listen to those.
No, seriously, go listen to them. You will actually learn things about the Mega Man series you never knew because
didn't want to know.
True. I will admit it was a bit much, and but you know what? I thought it was fun. And
why do you love Mega Man Legends so much?
Mega Man Legends showed me a side of a game series that I never thought could happen. It turned, as I said, the action platforming series into a RPG, basically an action RPG. It was it was mind blowing.
I really liked it actually. A lot.
And the story in this game was actually decent. A Mega Man game with a decent story. You know what? that's enough. I've already discussed that. Let's not go there.
All right.
Well, it's because people are so ingrained, like, no, it's not 2D. It's not real Mega Man. And it's like, really? Dude, if everything stayed the same, we'd still be driving Model T cars, okay?
Well, I mean, that's, I would say to that, yeah, it's not Mega Man, it's Mega Man Legends.
Yeah,
but,
there you go.
But it is still Mega Man.
That many game series can completely change the type of game it is and still stay true to the, like, to what the series is.
Guilty Gear 2!
Exactly. Mega Man got it right.
Mega Man got it right. Guilty Gear got it wrong.
Well, Mega Man got it right until Capcom decided to screw over its fans, but that's neither here nor there.
No, Capcom seems more these days. Like, I'm actually kind of at odds with Capcom right now, but...
We'll talk about that during your other shows.
Oh, yeah. Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Well, see, we're talking about now. We'll talk about it later. Randy, what's your number 3?
My number 3...
My
number three is Gears of War 2.
Where's my wife?
Actually, like, okay, so there's a lot of reasons behind Gears of War 2 that I like it a lot. By nature, I'm a very docile person. I'm not very violent. I'm not, like, my internet persona may seem like the, you know, the guy who pulls out a chainsaw at a moment's notice and will cut a dude's head off and drop steamrollers on people, but... In person, I'm pretty docile. I'm very considerate. But like when I'm playing Gears of War 2, it's a game that me and my friend Metal Kevin, we like get in character. So I'm Dominic Santiago, and he's Marcus Fenix, and we're looking for my wife and stuff like that. And then I almost cry every time I see.
Could we not spoil?
No, I wasn't gonna spoil, but because like what happens to Dom, partway through the game. Because like to this day, even though like I've seen it like 100 times, it still gets me. It still pulls my heartstrings. And it's like some people will be like, when Aeris gets killed in Final Fantasy VII, no, that's baby talk in comparison to what happens. In Gears of War 2. That isn't even a tragedy. And like, I know there's going to be a lot
relief.
Of people. Yeah, exactly. It's a relief what happens to Aerith, to Cloud. I mean, Cloud, oh man, he gets off so lucky in comparison. And like, I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, you just don't understand. You just like American games. You're a fat American. And you don't like it. And then they're like acting like a bunch of weeaboos and crying about it. But no, exactly. I'm dead serious. And like Gears of War not only had a good story that got me involved, got me excited, got me, you know, it got me legitimately emotionally involved with the game. And even more so than Mass Effect even. And like, I know people are like, well, they're just a bunch of guys running around being masculine. But you know what? The first time a Carmine brother died... But then the second time the Carmine brother died, I still cry about it. It's like, man, Carmine,
I really need to play Gears of War sometime. It's on my list of games.
Like, and I'm not spoiling anything. It's common knowledge that the Carmines are red shirts. Carmine is another word for red, and the Carmine brothers die a lot. So it's like, it's a joke in of itself. It's basically making reference to Star Trek when you say, oh yeah, the Carmine brothers, because they're a red shirt.
Lovely.
Yeah, I caught that like a while ago. I'm like, wait a minute, Carmine's another word for red. Red shirts, I get it. So anyway, but Gears of War 2, and it also has a lot of replayability, fun multiplayer modes. It's just a really, to me, a very solid game. So that was my number 3.
It's pretty recent too.
Yes, it is.
So is Mass Effect.
Indeed.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 is actually newer than Gears of War 2, so don't...
Yep.
You cut me some slack, Joey. Cut me some slack.
Okay.
What's up next for... I know this game.
Number 2.
Number 2?
This is for, like, me and Dustin here.
Yeah, because I actually succeeded this one to Joey.
Yeah.
But, like
this is on both of our lists.
I was going to say, you have to give it to Joey, because his internet name is Legendary Frog. No, guys, wait, spoiler alert.
No, you don't get it. I introduced Joey to this game. This is why we are friends. This game is influential to the both of us because this is why we are. This is why there is still us.
It is one of the main reasons we became friends because we started talking about this game, which is, if you haven't guessed, Chrono Trigger.
No, seriously, the only reason this game isn't on my list is because it's on his.
Because it was on mine first, but yeah. We didn't want any repeats. So yeah, Chrono Trigger is one of the best RPGs, has some of the best characters, has some of the best gameplay, has some of the best music. And once again, it influenced my art a lot. This game really was some of the first fan art I ever drew, and it really helped develop me just a drawing in a general more realistically. Is a Chrono Trigger. I'm drawing all the characters, and helped my writing skill. I actually wrote a fan fiction on it that was kind of like a version, like a novel version of the game. So I really gotten involved in this game a whole bunch, even before kind of the internet culture as it is now got started.
I'll go ahead and say this. I was almost a little bit late to this game because I didn't play it until after PlayStation came out. But, I was in high school. I was actually just hanging out in the library. I was talking, I actually ended up talking to this senior. For the life of me, I cannot remember his name. But hey, we were just started talking back and forth about games. He was like, "You ever have a game called Chrono Trigger?" And I'm like, "No." He said, "I need to let you borrow this game." And the history was born.
Yeah, Dustin told me, we were talking about game music, and he said, "You know what game has cool music?" And I said, "What, Dustin?" And he said, "Chrono Trigger." So I went home, I played it on an emulator, and I wasn't really... The only other RPG I really played at this point is... I can't remember if I played Final Fantasy VII yet, but it was basically Super Mario RPG, and I don't remember Final Fantasy VII yet. And it was basically one of my first experience of a real RPG, and I was just like, "Oh wow, this is really good." It kind of spoiled me in a lot of ways because I went back to play Final Fantasy VI, and I was like, "Well, this doesn't have animated sprites like Chrono Trigger did." It does. What's this, random battles? What?
Yeah, if Chrono Trigger is one of your first RPGs, it kind of ruins the... It almost ruins the rest for you, but I will... But you know what? I'll get into the Final Fantasy series a little bit later.
Yeah, and the characters are really well done, too. Like, you really get to... Like, you really get involved with the characters and, like, the side missions you do later in the game that affect them directly. Like, you want them to happen because you want them to be happy. And, like, the stuff with Luca was really sad. And her, relationship with Robo was real sweet. And,
Shala lives!
And, Scala and Magus. Like, at the time, I wasn't really aware of the... It's like, this isn't the real bad guy. So, like, Lavos was kind of... Like, the stuff with Lavos was kind of a revelation to me when it happened.
Hey, me too. I didn't know either, so it was fun.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, Chrono Cross was also a good game.
Well, it did. Well, it was a bit flawed, and the story is a Gordian knot. It's still a fun game to play, and once you kind of work your way through the story, you realize they tried. They honestly tried something. Didn't quite succeed as well as they would hope, but hey, no one's perfect.
And Chrono Trigger holds up to this day. And that's really what is one of the best things to say about it.
Yeah, if you have a DS and you don't have the Chrono Trigger port to it, go get it now. No, seriously. Go pause this podcast. Go on the internet and order it. Go to a GameStop, local game store, something. Go get this. Go get it. Now.
Just get an emulator.
And while I like the art style in the game, the only thing I don't really like is the actual like art. I never was a big fan of that artist. Of I forget
Kira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. Like, if you go up to anybody else like your average person who likes anime and manga and stuff like that, you look at them, you point a finger at them, and you say, other than Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Quest and Chrono Trigger, what else has Akira Toriyama worked on? And you point at them. And, like, more often than not, they'll be like,
I mean, it's very... It's very distinctive, and it's well done for what it is. I'm saying I'm not a huge fan of it.
The thing that frustrates me is, okay, like,
understand... I almost got it on the tip of my mind, what the name of that.
See, there's the problem. But, like, I know that Akira Toriyama works on a lot of stuff, but he gets so upset with people when they only know about Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Quest, Blue Dragon. Oh, whoa, hold on one second. Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Quest, Blue Dragon. Yeah. Dragons.
I think he likes dragons.
This guy is dragon guy. Holy crap. I just realized that. So, right.
So moving on.
Aral. Yeah. Dr. Crap.
Dustin, number two.
No, I just lost the anime cred for not knowing this, but I'll think of it and it'll come to me later. Number two. This game might be a little obvious, but I have to say it. And I actually have an interesting story behind this. Deus Ex.
Deus Ex? What's that? You mean the new one that just came out?
Shut up, you. But see, okay, I heard the new one's alright, but I hadn't had a chance to play because my computer sucks. Yay! Moving on. Deus Ex is one of the, if not the best PC game ever made. This game had really good gameplay, an outstanding story, and this game is still influential. And it came from the same company that brought us Daikatana of all things. Iron Storm. This game was... but you know what? That's going a bit off track. Deus Ex. If you have not played this game, go play it. No, seriously. I'll just like Chrono Trigger, I'm telling you right now, stop. Go to Steam. Buy the Game of the Year edition.
It's on sale a lot. You can probably get it for like $5 if you're lucky.
I was going to say, we keep having them pause the stinking podcasts.
To go spend money. The Legendary Frogcast, sponsored by Steam.
They better sponsor us.
I see, but not seriously. Deus Ex is the best. Is the best marriage of gameplay and story I've ever seen. You know, I'm gonna stick with that. And now there's more.
More.
Yeah, Deus Ex almost drove my oldest brother crazy. It turned my oldest brother Jay into a conspiracy nut. Now, I'm not talking like conspiracy. I'm talking the deep end of the conspiracy bowl. It almost drove him insane and paranoid. Just this game did, but he got it over it though. But this game is still awesome. He still loves this game. How many games do you know have actually almost driven someone insane?
A lot of them.
Not the answer I was looking for.
He's made your point.
I mean, what's really cool about Deus Ex, the first one, is that like at the time, a lot of first person shooters was here's your direction, here's a gun, go do it, kill them all. But, like, with Deus Ex, what happened was, like, to me, it gave you options. It's like, you could either be the soldier type, kick in the door, kill everybody inside the room, and move on. Or you could be the shrewd, engineer guy who's like, well, guess what I'm going to do to your freaking security systems? That's right, turn all your auto guns against you guys! So you don't have to fire a single bullet, but everybody in the room still dies.
Or you could make it where... you don't have to kill a single person in the entire game. It just... Well, aside from a few... I think you can actually... can you do it? No, I think you can do a completely peaceful run of Deus Ex. People have torn this game apart just trying to find what you can do with it. It is a... Not to mention the various mods. One I would highly recommend that you find if you get a chance is the Nameless mod. It is a love letter to the Deus Ex series.
And is this a PC only game or did it release on consoles?
Well, there was a console
on PlayStation 2,
but no one talks about it because it was a crap version. It
wasn't good.
No, go play the PC. Go play the PC version only. Seriously. But
so,
yeah,
it had a sequel, but it wasn't good, right?
Invisible War was terrible.
It was horrible. It was a travesty. Let's not. The less we talk about it, the better.
Okay. Doesn't exist.
But yeah, as far as I'm concerned. But I've heard very good things about Human Revolution. Yeah, aside from the ending.
It just came out. All right, Deus Ex. Randy, number two.
It is Mortal Kombat, the new one, the 2011 one.
The newest Mortal Kombat.
Yes, the newest Mortal Kombat.
Where the developers got their heads out of their asses?
Yeah, when they decided, you know what people really liked? When Mortal Kombat played like a 2D game. And so, like, I really like this new one because it opens up a whole new world of different kinds of, or different ways to beat the crap out of somebody. Now,
also Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, also Freddy Krueger. But, like a lot of fighting games, there's always those guys who find the exploits in the game and will, like, ruin it, basically. They're just these guys who know infinite combos or things like that. That just ruin the entire experience. So, you know, a lot of fighting games get that. A lot. But, like, as it is, Mortal Kombat 9, to me, is an extremely solid fighting game with great, like, with great gameplay mechanics and just an awesome combat system that's just amazing to me.
Isn't there a fighting game coming out that specifically fights against infinite combos and stuff like that? Like, was it Skullgirls or something like that?
I heard about that.
That's neither here nor there.
It's like, I kind of wish they brought back from Mortal Kombat 4 the maximum damage, meaning that you can only do so much damage in a single combo to prevent people from doing that kind of crap. Like, in one single combo string, I've taken out 90% of your health. How do you feel about that?
Didn't they try and fix the absolute cluster of... Well, let's change another word, shall we? The absolute mess that is the Mortal Kombat story timeline?
Yes, they did. They fixed it entirely. I'm still, like, at odds with the online with it, though. Because there's still a delay, and the delay murders me. Like, there's actually Rain. Rain is completely unplayable online because his combos require such precise timing that slight delay just destroys it for him. He just can't be played online.
So, you really like Mortal Kombat, the newest Mortal Kombat, but why would this be over, say, Mortal Kombat 3?
Mortal Kombat 2.
One of the good old Mortal Kombat games.
The reason being...
As a favorite game.
The reason why is that it does harken back to the older ones, and it does placate to a lot of the desires that I had with the older ones. But the thing is that this one overall is a superior game. It's just better. I mean, if Mortal Kombat 9 wasn't out, I'd say Mortal Kombat 2. But Mortal Kombat 9 basically blows 2 out of the water for me, and it quickly replaces my favorite, you know, it's replaced, or 2 is replaced with my favorite Mortal Kombat game, you know?
Kind of place, like, Street Fighter 4 kind of in the same vein as this, as, like,
yes,
just a harken back to the olden days, but also updating it for the modern standards?
Yeah, Yeah, I would agree with that entirely, actually. The reason being is because, like, but, like, just like with Street Fighter 4, I completely avoid the online because, honestly, it's just bananas. I have, like, in my career in Super Street Fighter 4, I have 0 wins and, like, 40 losses. And it's just, like, I just don't play online anymore. I mean, like...
So you're not going to go, so no Evo for you?
No. Heck no. I would not want to play with those guys. It's just...
They're like, on a whole different level.
Well, like, when I, at the anime convention we have here in Utah, Anime
Wait,
Bonsai...
They have anime conventions in Utah?
Yeah.
Go figure.
But, at Anime Bonsai, they had Super Street Fighter 4 there. I played it, and I stomped just about everybody there. And I was, like, really astonished, because, like, I play Hakan, and, Zangief, and T-Hawk. I play grabbing guys. I play... The dudes who were like, come here, let me give you a hug. Argh! And so, like, these characters are generally considered low-tier characters. And I was able to, like, stomp these guys who were like, well, I play Akuma professionally almost. And, like, you know, they start doing their thing, and I'm like, all right. And so I stomped them. And I'm starting to think that it's not that I'm a bad player, but it's just the lag that I get in online. That I just can't process it. Like, I don't have precognitive powers, and I'm not Korean. So I can't compete with people online.
This reminds me of a comment my friend said about the port they just had for Street Fighter 3 on the Xbox, PlayStation 3, a third strike.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the pros were complaining that there's a millisecond lag with the input, so the game is unplayable. So.
Yeah, see that, now I'm not that bad. I wouldn't, like, complain about something that bad. But, like, at the same time, it doesn't make it completely unplayable for me. I'll try it a couple times. I'll be like, Street Fighter 4, I'll pop it in and see if I'm... Oh, no, I'm not missing out on anything.
I remember Soul Calibur 4, I don't really remember any game-breaking lag in that, really. I mean, it happened once in a while.
I know, right?
But yeah, like, but that's... You have a lot more time to think about your stuff in Soul Calibur.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But yeah, so, like, that's why Mortal Kombat 9 is my number 2. Okay. That's why Mortal Kombat 2 isn't. I mean, like, if Mortal Kombat 9 wasn't out, it'd be Mortal Kombat 2, because that was the best Mortal Kombat, in my opinion.
Oh, God. That the quarters I've wasted.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so now we're moving on to number 1 picks, our...
If you can't
Our favorite
out
game what, of all time.
If you can't figure out what Joey's is, obviously.
Well, they might not know. So number 5 was Jack 2. Then Donkey Kong Country 2 / Yoshi's Island / Kirby All-Star platformers. 3, Mass Effect. 2, Chrono Trigger. And the number 1 is the game that just... I don't know, it just kind of made me a game fan and a Nintendo fan is a hardcore Nintendo fan is Ocarina of Time. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. It's a cliche answer.
Yeah, it is, but it's one we can live with.
I played this game so many times in middle / high school.
This was my first N64 game and it sold me on the system.
And
awesome.
I don't want to say that I know if other games did this stuff before Ocarina of Time, but this is one of the first games I remember playing that even really heard about. This had this vast 3D interactive world, like this many NPC characters, the explorations and secrets. And
did we mention it had day and night? Did we mention it had
Oh, yeah, like a day and night cycle. I can't recall any other game that had a day and night cycle that affected the game. Okay, Castlevania 2, I guess, had one. But this is a little more beyond that.
What a horrible night for a curse.
Yeah. But yeah, like, it's a real-time day and night cycle, and at nighttime, like, the monsters come out. It had... cleverly designed dungeons that still hold up to this day. And the boss fights, not so much. But
let's not go with the water temple.
Water temple.
The Water Temple is the only temple that, when they released Master Quest, they actually made easier.
What did they do? Oh yeah, that's true, they did. And yeah, it's just like it had a characters that you end up caring about. I found out about character shipping because of this game.
I'm sorry.
And
it's not my fault, but I'm just sorry you saw all that. That can be horrible.
And even though I played Link's Awakening before this, it got me into the rest of the Zelda games, like Link to the Past, and
God, I almost put Link to the Past is actually on my runner up list, and if it isn't, it should be, because that game got me through high school. Middle school.
Ocarina of Time set the standard for a lot of 3D action games like this, like the a targeting system, like how you aim, and it set the mold for Zelda games. Definitely, I mean, Zelda games hasn't strayed too far,
much
better
to
for worse.
Yeah,
from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, a lot of people still complain that Zelda that is stagnated, and while I'll admit Twilight Princess probably wasn't the best at its best. Skyward Sword actually looks like it might be pretty good.
I'm actually replaying Twilight Princess. I should play this game before Skyward Sword. Before Skyward Sword comes out, so I'm doing that. But yeah, Ocarina of Time, it got me addicted. Like, I just couldn't stop playing this game, and just like exploring the world and trying to find bugs. Like, I found a couple of bugs in this game, like trying to get over cliffs and
you had the original. Didn't you have the original gold cart?
No, it's a gray cart. I remember spending an hour trying to catch the Highland Lock. Like, I wouldn't do that with a game today. I spend an hour trying to catch a rare fish. No way. Yeah.
Man, that thing was a pain in the ass to catch.
Yep. I mean, I remember just seeing, like, an odd-looking texture in Lake Hyla and trying for 2 hours trying to get to it. I mean, I just loved this game when I was a kid. And I haven't really replayed it recently because it kind of has aged.
Well, that's why there's the 3DS version, had a 3DS.
Yeah, but one day I want to go back to it. So, maybe Ocarina of Time, it's my favorite game.
Yay. All right. Now, my favorite game, actually, I'm going to have to... You know what? I'm going to have to expand it just a bit.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not just... Okay, it is not just Final Fantasy IV, but 5 and 6. The entire Super NES era. And while you're... Because those set into motion a lot of things that Final Fantasy still holds through. Now, I could just go back into Final Fantasy 1 through 3, but honestly... Everyone has played 4 and everyone has played 6 because those were the games that introduced a lot of people.
Is Randy still here? We haven't really heard him.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, just making sure.
But yeah. Okay, Final Fantasy 4 was actually my first Final Fantasy game. Back when it was known as only as Final Fantasy 2. Actually, no, I'd played it after 7 had come out. So, yay, I was behind, but yeah. Actually, this was my second Square RPG, the first being Chrono Trigger, oddly enough. But, yeah, I took a step back before I took a step forward. But I grew to love this game. I've grown the hell out of that game, and I grew to love the characters, and Cecil, and Radia, all that. Oh, Rosa. Come on, yeah. Edge. He was a ninja. How can you not love a ninja? But Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah. I was going to say, Final Fantasy IV is my number one favorite Final Fantasy game. I like it a lot more than any of the other Final Fantasy games. The reason being is because, like, it feels more or less... Okay, Cecil, however you want to pronounce it, he had a legitimate reason for feeling bad for what he did. He has a legitimate reason for being kind of down sometimes because, A, he did some pretty messed up stuff to people. He was a grade A jerk. He was totally stuff like that. And then when he, like, finally got over his conflicts became a paladin, and started, you know, trying to set things right, he was less whiny. He was just awesome, right? But then there's, like, Final Fantasy games nowadays. Like, I think it all started with 7, where the hero has this unspecified conflict within himself where he feels bad about
everything. No, it may have started in 7, but it cemented in 8.
Yeah, but it's like, and like all the girls, all the fans are like, we like seeing this sensitivity and stuff like that. And then there's like, if Cecil, like, okay, I'm not talking about Dissidia here, because Cecil definitely wasn't as abrasive in Dissidia as he was in 4. Because like when Edward is crying over his lost girlfriend, and you know, Cecil is like, pick yourself up, stop being such a wuss. And like, if he was like that with Cloud or Leon or Squall, however you want to call him,
it'd be awesome.
He would have been like if Cloud was like, "Oh, I'm no good to anyone." It's like, are you kidding? You carry around a giant sword. If anything, you're an essential part of this team. And then he's like, "Why are you being so abrasive?" And he's like, "Dude, I got over it. You should too."
And isn't he like both at the same time in like Dissidia?
Yeah, in Dissidia he can switch back and forth between Dark Knight and Paladin, and I think that's probably why he puts up with everyone's crap. And like, the contrast they have in the characters there, because like there's a Dane, he's all like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And then him and Tidus are like best friends because they're so happy about everything.
Oh, good. I still want to play. I wish they had ported that to the PS2, because those games look kind of awesome.
They definitely are. But anyway, because like, I like 4 because they didn't focus on this broken romance that's completely one-sided,
you know, Cecil loved Rosa and vice versa. It was a mutual thing.
They loved each other. And then there's like, when you look at Final Fantasy VIII, where it's Rinoa and Squall. And Squall's like, "Well, I guess
whatever." It's whatever.
Yeah, and then there's like Cloud. He's like, Ares. And then there's Tifa. She's like, "Are you kidding? You're whining about the girl with the mosquito bites?" and Tifa's like all wants to jump Cloud's bones, but Cloud's so like involved in whatever it is that's bugging him that he won't even give her a second look.
What Cloud's problem was, is he was trying to be, and here's a spoiler alert, he was trying to be Zack. And Zack was awesome.
Zack was awesome, but he's failing miserably at it because he's feeling bad for himself. If he wanted to honor Zack in any way, he'd take Zack's disposition with everything, and that's roll with it. And it's,
well, didn't,
it's
didn't just, he didn't he eventually get over himself? Yeah, he did.
I don't know.
He kind of got over himself near the end of the game, but then he re-emoed.
Yeah, and then in the movie Advent Children, he's still like trying to avoid everyone.
Yeah, but like, you know,
I guess that's canon. I don't know.
Yeah, but like I like the Final Fantasy IV because they didn't like. They weren't trying to be like, let's be edgy and dark. No, what they were doing, let's portray this fantasy story that is awesome, that, you know, can draw players in, and that can make people relate with the characters and feel for the characters. I mean, like, I can't think of a single person who didn't get sad when some of the characters died, you know?
This was before RPGs had to be edgy and dark.
Okay, but we've talked about 4. I have to mention 5. Mm-hmm. 3 had the job system. 5 perfected it. 5 is where the job system began to shine in the game. It's also where summons really started coming into their own. And it was like, there's another series, and we were just talking about this, you know, the characters not being emo or anything. Barts or whatever he is called now.
Whatever your region is, because in Japan he's called Butts.
Yeah.
Butts.
Okay. Moving on. But yeah, he was a endless optimist. He did nothing get him down. Dude, he almost paralyzed someone, and kind of got him down, but he got over it.
But you know what's funny is, like, to me, like, My one of my favorite villains in Final Fantasy is from Final Fantasy V, and it's Xdeath. Love him.
Oh yeah, you talk about the tree that walks.
Yeah, I'm a tree. If people who play League, if Kevin listened to this, Braylith, he'd be like, oh yeah, that Randy, he plays a tree. Well, I'm like, I am a tree. So that's why I'm like kindred spirits with tree characters.
But yeah. Final Fantasy V was a lot of fun. And if you get a chance to play it, honestly, I'd tell you to go play the GBA version, because the PlayStation version, I don't know. PlayStation for that whole porting. Okay, we're going to hop back to Chrono Trigger for a second. The ports of Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6 and Chrono Trigger for the PlayStation sucked, hands down.
Yeah, when you get lag in Chrono Trigger, I mean, that's just
bad. You're not doing it right
on a PlayStation. So Final Fantasy 6.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think we're getting off track here.
Well, I mean, we're talking about all three, but yeah, like Final Fantasy 6. What do you like so much about that game?
Final Fantasy 6. Was one of the first games I actually started teared up in a little bit. And that was during the opera, oddly enough. I know. Also, a video game had an opera in it, and we only saw a small part of it in the video game, but there is legitimately a half hour long opera based on Final Fantasy, based on that, you know, Draco and Maria. And there's versions, there's a Japanese version, there's an Italian version, there's an English version. I'm sure you can go find it out there on the internet. It's well worth listening to.
Final Fantasy VI is super story-driven, character-driven.
Heavily character-driven.
Yep.
Gameplay was kind of broken in spots. Just a tad, but it was still kind of fun. This is, Final Fantasy VI is where summons became almost a permanent part of, became almost synonymous with.
They became characters too.
Yeah, they became part of your party, almost, and you got to know them. And and then there's the best Final Fantasy villain of all time, Kefka.
Yeah.
No, seriously, this guy is the. And this guy's the most awesome villain there ever was, and he was more villainous than Sephiroth. Way more villainous than Xdeath, I hate to say it.
You know, and most villains in Final Fantasy games past this haven't really been that threatening.
But, like, Kefka was nuts. Yeah. Like, legitimately, completely insane.
What I thought was funny is, like, whenever someone's like, you know what I really liked about Final Fantasy VI, and I look at them and I go, what? That all the heroes failed? That Kefka succeeded in destroying everything?
Oh,
Final Fantasy VI heroes are failed heroes!
That's right. Kefka's also the only villain to succeed.
Time compression.
Okay.
Oh, although, didn't they let that happen, time compression?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. She gets... But seriously, though, Kefka's awesome. Also, he has the best boss music in any Final Fantasy game. Yes, I'm saying Dancing Mad is awesome. Dancing Mad.
And also the soundtrack in 6 is really good. So the three Final Fantasy games for the SNES and 4 in particular are your favorite games.
But I can't talk about 4 without talking about 5 and 6.
Okay.
It would be a disservice and kind of shape my views on gaming.
Kind of like Zelda kind of set standards for me too. Alright, Randy, what's number 1?
Okay.
Is it a fighting
Marvel
game?
Versus Wait. Capcom 2. New Age of Heroes.
I'm gonna take you for a ride.
Better not. Anyway, I like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 a lot. Because I'm a huge Marvel fanboy.
Who isn't?
I know people are like, oh, well, what about the third one? Well,
It's 2 still the better game.
I feel like the second one still is better to a larger extent because it. the character variety was so much thicker. Now, I understand there's so many character imbalances, but it's still a ridiculously fun game to play. It's still, like, a fun game to be ridiculous in. I mean, like, sometimes, like, one of my fondest memories of when Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was... One time I had it for the Dreamcast and I was playing it on.
That was the best version of that game.
I was playing it on the. I was playing it on the big screen in our living room when I was in middle school, and my dad comes up and he's like, "You play this game a lot, son." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I'm so good at it." He's like, "If you're so good at it, let me pick your characters, and if you can beat the game with those characters without a continue, I'll give you $20. And I'm like, "Dad, making a wager with me over Marvel vs. Capcom 2? Challenge accepted." And so, like, he picks up the game and he picks Roll, Serve Bot, and BB Hood.
Damn, like, he screwed you over.
I'm like, "Dad, really?" So, like, it was an uphill battle, but I won only because I knew how to play BB Hood. So, like, I was just playing as BB Hood the entire time. She just carried my team. And, like, eventually, like, whenever I want to just troll my friends, I'll pick them. And, like, sometimes I'll actually stomp them because, like, I kind of know how to play Roll, and I also kind of know how to play Surf Bot. So, it's terrible because they'll be like, "Really? Is that the team you're using, Randy? Really?" And then they watch me with it, like, "Yeah, come on, man!" And so, like, I really liked Marvel vs. Capcom 2 because it was just, it had a mixture of a lot of insane stuff. It was a lot of fun. And, like, it was actually the first game that me and one of the Japanese exchange students, my parents, would get all the time. That's how we, like, bonded. Was that, like, when he came over, his name was Hirotaka, and we, he's like, "Oh, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's one of my favorite games." He's like, "You play?" And I'm like, "Yeah, let's play it." So, like, he and I, we played for, like, 30 hours straight, I'm not even kidding, and, like, we were just going back and forth with each other, and then, like, he brought his friends, who he made friends with at the private school that he goes to, he brought them over. So, like, there was, like, four Japanese kids, and that was the night that I totally got stomped in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Because, like, this kid, one of them, he played Sentinel, Morgana, Cammy, and I'm like, "Oh, well, he's playing a Sentinel. I mean, I guess he must be a noob." And then I got stomped. It was the most horrible ass whooping I'd ever received in my life. The only time I'd ever gotten worse one was when I first played it online on the Xbox Live.
Oh man. But yeah, seriously, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is fun, no matter where you play it. Which reminds me, Randy, you ever come down to Georgia? There's a local gaming store me and Joey go to that has the full-on Marvel vs. Capcom 2 cabinet with a giant screen.
Yeah, like, we actually have an arcade here in Utah, in one of our malls, and, like, I'm actually good friends with the owner, because, like, when I started my job at a call center, he was my trainer, and so, like, whenever, you know, we'd be in breaks and stuff like that, he and I would just sit down and just talk for hours about video games. And finally, he opened his arcade, and it was actually because of me that he got House of the Dead 4 and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And so, like, he's like, "Yeah, I got them for you." And so, like,
you get to play them for free?
Don't. But, like, what he'll do is sometimes, or most of the time, he'll discount the arcade cabinet temporarily for me and my friends. So, like, my friend Metal Kevin, he is balls deep for this game Carnival. It's basically a shooting game in Evil Carnival, but he basically let us play that for one token apiece. So we were like, "Yeah." So anyway, but Marvel vs. Capcom 2, it placates to a lot of my desires, which is You know, playing as Marvel superheroes or Capcom icons, and you know, just watch them go all out and just go toe to toe against each other. And I really, really like enjoy it overall as a. It's just a great game, and I actually have owned it 3 different times. I own a copy on my Xbox, like the classic Xbox. I paid like $70 for it. And then I have a I have it on the Xbox 360, the downloadable one. And then my parents at my parents' house, they have my my Sega Dreamcast copy of it at their house. And so you know, I have 3 copies of it. So
well, there you go. That is our favorite games, but that's not all, because we have a runner-up list.
And we're just going to kind of go through it.
Yeah, we'll go through fast. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Right. I have Curse of Monkey Island / Full Throttle, which are my favorite adventure games.
LucasArts at its best.
And
before it ended, and everybody went over to Telltale and Double Fine.
Double Fine!
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah, like, I just love Curse of Monkey Island. It's my favorite in the series.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sail and roam the sea.
Exactly, I still love that. I have a Metroid Prime on here. It was kind of my Super Metroid since I never really played Super Metroid when it was new. So.
Crap, I need. Go ahead. Yeah, but yeah, those are very good games.
Yep. Metroid Prime. I have Final Fantasy IX. Because it had really good characters and the gameplay was good.
It really goes back to the original Final Fantasy games where it's like a swords and sorcery and just really cool stuff to it.
And
I like a lot too.
And I guess NES ones like weren't a part of my childhood, so like I can't really put them on this list. But Final Fantasy IX, I don't know. It's kind of like the black sheep, but.
The black sheep of the series is probably 8.
Well, that was a lot more popular than 9. But I'm saying just in terms of availability and stuff like that, 9. And I have to put World of Warcraft on here because...
Do you play that game?
Well, because I'm still playing after 6 years, it's still engaging in a lot of ways, and it kind of shaped the world's MMO space to what it is today. I mean, like a free-to-play ones have kind of taken over a lot, but...
All the free play ones combined all together still don't equal the subscriber base to World of Warcraft.
Oh, that's absolutely not true. But
it's close.
No, it's not true at all. Those things have like hundreds of millions of users combined. But World of Warcraft. I mean, the only game that has come close to being as good as it is Rift, and that's because it does everything exactly the same as World of Warcraft. So,
in a lot of cases, it's like, in a lot of ways, it does some things better, but yeah. Like at the same time, you know, it's not really ripping it off if you're doing it better than the original.
And it's improving. It's something Warcraft is continually making improvements and like taking stuff for that from other games, and I just like it. So World of Warcraft. Dustin, your runner-ups.
Hold on, Randy, can you go first? I'm having a few technical difficulties over here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can go up first. So, as it's commonly known, I'm a huge fan of Marvel. So on this list is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. I really like the Ultimate Alliance series because I like action RPG games.
Excellent.
And I also like having games that I can like sit on the couch with my friends. And we can all be playing at the same time. Like, there's countless hours me and my wife spent just playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 together. And like, you know, I like, you know, hey, Brandon, or hey, Josh, get on in on this. And they're like, yeah, sure. And so we're all playing as characters that we all like playing. Like, I'm always Captain America. And I'm like, good work, soldier.
I know this is a bit off topic, but I keep forgetting you're married.
Yep.
Way to break the mood.
There's a
like, but we
Ultimate Alliance 2, like remember when that came out? Like, wasn't like, didn't people see it kind of as a disappointment?
A lot of people did, and I don't really understand it entirely why. I mean, there is one thing that really kind of let me down about it, was in the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance, every character had 4 alternate costumes. And that really helped with the diversity, because even the costumes had little different little stats and stuff like that. Like, for example, the Ghost Rider costume, there was a Ghost Rider one that if your teammate would take a blow that would kill them, there was, like, if you leveled it up all the way, there's a 10% chance that the blow won't kill them, but instead, like, they would die but come back to life with half health. And so, like, you know, there were little things like that, and it was really cool. Now, this one, they only have 2 costumes apiece, but at the same time, I really like the fusion techniques, you know? I like watching the Incredible Hulk pick up a chunk of ground, lift it over his head, and then Deadpool teleport on top of it, drop a bunch of explosives on it, and jump off of it, and then the Hulk throw that thing at somebody, some unlucky enemies. I really like that.
Also, any video game with Deadpool in it gets my seal of approval.
Definitely, especially if he's in a boss fight and he makes jokes about how he should have jumped on that that life bar extension that he got online, or that he was offered online. Anyway, so moving on. Then I have Monster Hunter Freedom Unite. Now, earlier when I said I have never poured more than 24 hours into a single game, that was partially, like, in a game with a legitimate long story. Monster Hunter Freedom Unite has eaten hundreds of hours of my life, because it's so tedious, and it's so aggravating, and it's so annoying.
I'll tell you right now.
But then it's so addicting.
It's so addicting. It's almost worse than heroin. But, you know, it's like, okay, I just need to get this one more item. I just need to get this one more item. Oh, wait, that item has a 10% drop. So, like, you know, I had to fight the same stupid monster 30 times to get this one beak. That's all you need is one. And sorry, I'm going off on another one, but...
Yes. Moving on.
But, yeah. So, and then I like the original Soul Calibur. I'm not talking about Soul Blade. I'm talking about Soul Calibur.
Tale of Souls and Swords, eternally retold.
Yep. And I'm mostly referring to the Dreamcast port of this.
Oh God, but, I can go into my closet and pull that out right now, and that game is awesome.
It still holds up to just sheer awesome.
I think 2 is better, but yeah, the first one's really solid.
I really enjoyed the first one a lot. It also was the very first fighting game that I played where there was a scantily clad woman.
An ex-girlfriend of mine used to beat the hell out of me with Selgmina. No, not Selgmina, but who was the one with the pole arm?
Yeah, that was Selgmina.
Yeah, she used to rape me with that character. Oh man, it wasn't even funny.
Yep. Soul Calibur 2 was, well, the Soul Calibur series have been really the only fighting games that I really devoted myself to, like, getting good with characters and stuff. So I definitely appreciate it.
Best version, GameCube, hands down.
Because of Link, or because of the controller?
Link, the controller.
Well,
definitely not the controller.
I think the GameCube version had the fastest FPS, which, you know, frames per second, because the video card in the GameCube was really good.
Me and Dustin played the crap out of Soul Calibur.
Oh my god. I still got that over... I still have that over here.
Oh, you still have that? I thought I sold it.
No, I still got it. You I thought you gave it to me.
Yeah, I probably did.
But, like, I really like... I think that the GameCube one had the best FPS, but, like, the load time on the Xbox version was way better. And, like, my opinion, I liked Spawn a lot more than I liked Heihachi and Link. But that's just...
I'm sorry. Nintendo fanboys, we gotta go with Link. Sorry.
I know. Moving on. And then I put down here the House of the Dead 2. The Dreamcast port, specifically.
I actually played the PC version.
Yeah, PC version. It's basically the same as Dreamcast port. But anyway... I was one of the few who had a Dreamcast and had a light gun at the same time. I also
son of a... Of course, I'm one of the few people who had Dreamcast and C-Man. So
I had C-Man too, or C-Man as well. I mean, there was no such thing as a C-Man 2, but I had C-Man.
That game was awesome.
Anyway, like I really, my love for zombies and zombie video games actually was spawned from House of the Dead 2, because I liked feeling like, and like when it comes down to it, anybody who watches me play House of the Dead 2 nowadays, when I've got a light gun, they're like, dude, you are inhuman. Because like I'm the same way in House of the Dead 3, House of the Dead 4, even the original House of the Dead, I am a monster in it, because I'm like,
What about Overkill?
I never played it, but I hadn't played it yet, and I heard it was really campy and pays a lot of homage to like Grindhouse films. But
the problem with that being?
Not really a problem. I don't know. I just don't enjoy the fact that they're like reveling in making fun of themselves, I guess. But
come on,
you know, I liked
House of the Dead has always had a sense of humor about itself.
Kind of. I mean, like terrible voice acting. Like, how could anyone do this? That was the most said line in the whole game. Is how could anyone do this? They say it a lot.
How could anyone do this?
Yeah. So anyway, that could be like the tagline for House of the Dead 2 is House of the Dead 2. How could anyone do this? But anyway, I just really liked House of the Dead 2 because I was like, I'm like a crack shot in that game. I'm like kapak kapak kapak, and they're like headshots every time, really? And I'm like, well, it's just I'm good at it. And like my dad was actually in the military, and I don't like to toot my own horn, but I am a really, like, in spite of the fact that I have glasses, I am a remarkable marksman. Like, when I went to scout camp, I actually set records in their rifle range I broke the records and set new ones because I'm just so good at I'm just so accurate. But, like, I blame that entirely on the amount of House of the Dead 2 I played. And some people will be like, well, that's just a video game. It doesn't work the same way as a real gun. There's an actual kickback and stuff. And I'm like, you know, okay, there is the weight of the gun. There is the kickback. But the initial aiming and squeezing, like, that handling, aiming, and squeezing the trigger is extremely conjectural. And that's why I can do it so well, is because I just played so much House of the Dead 2 that I was like, kapak, 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 and then it's like, wow, you are insane. Anyway, sorry, I went on a tangent there.
It's alright.
Hey, we've all gone on tangents today. Let's carry on.
Except for Joey.
Yeah, no, I went through my list pretty quick. Oh, yeah, I only had 4 on there. I could probably add another one, but I can't really think of another game.
I'm probably gonna skim over my list a little bit. But yeah. I've got a long list, so I'm just gonna skim it a little bit. But there are a few ones I'm gonna stop on. There's Kirby's Dream Land 3, which we've already talked about. Chrono Trigger, which we've already talked about. Portal, we're gonna stop on for a little bit because Portal is one of the funniest games I have ever played. No, seriously, it's okay. It goes Portal, Sam and Max Hit the Road, and Psychonauts.
Portal's important in a lot of other ways too. Not Portal, just its humor, yeah.
Portal is how it interweaves, is the perfect game as far as interweaving story and gameplay.
It's a puzzle game where halfway through you turn against the person making the puzzles.
Yeah. If you hate to say this again, if you haven't played Portal,
everyone should own Portal, because if they have a computer, they gave it away for free at one point.
Yeah, and I would include Portal 2, but I haven't played it yet because crappy computer. Yay!
Portal 2 is really good.
As Joey has played it.
Yep.
This is going to be a bit of an odd one, and probably some of you may have heard of it, some of you haven't. I hate to say this, it barely qualifies as a game, but it does. Fate Stay Night. Neither of y'all have probably heard of this. Fates Day Night is what we'd like to call a visual novel. It's basically text with maybe some animated backgrounds, music, sound effects, but it's mostly text.
Kind of like how they sold that those Metal Gear graphic novels on PSP.
Or another good choice would be like that came out recently was 9 hours. Was it 9 hours, 9 doors, 9 persons? Yeah, it's stuff like that. Visual novels. However, Fates Day Night was what got me into the genre as a whole. It has an outstanding story. The soundtrack is actually pretty good. Yes, it does have questionable scenes, if you will. But what they replaced them with was worse. And actually, you know, I'm going to kind of throw in the whole... It's called the Nazuverse. Because it's like this whole series of games made by this one guy. Well, this one company, Titanmoon. You know what? I could probably do a whole podcast on the Nazuverse thing. I'll get back to you on that, but I'll move on. Because I could talk about this for a while. Next game is...
Could I very quickly put Resident Evil 4 on my runner-ups?
Yes, you can, because yeah, that was a very fun game.
And that was an important game, too.
Yeah, that was...
And the evolution of third-person shooters.
It made... Very shortly, it made Resident Evil relevant again.
Yep. And then Resident Evil 5 kind of made it irrelevant again.
It
didn't take long for the series to go down again, even though 5 was pretty good.
But it
wasn't... It can't stand up like Gears of War and stuff like that.
What if they're making a new Resident Evil?
For the 3DS, I have no idea about the console ones.
Right, next up is Castlevania Aria of Sorrow. Now you're thinking, wait, why not Symphony of the Night? Well, here's why. I'll tell you. I liked Aria of Sorrow better. It changed up how the game played. It changed up the story a bit. You weren't playing a Bella, which, oh god, the fan rage.
Well, you weren't playing a Belmont in Symphony of the Night.
Nope, you were playing. But there was a lot of people had a lot of undeserved hate for Aria of Sorrow for some reason. Now, if they were talking about Circle of the Moon, sure, I understand that. That game sucked. Yeah, I mean, it was fun.
So, Aria of Sorrow, you think, is 2D Castlevania at its finest? Well, Castlevania at its finest, because the 3D games never really... Well, maybe the new ones did. I don't really know.
I wouldn't say it is at its finest, but it's my favorite Castlevania game. I can't say it is its finest, because it has gotten better. I kind of liked Order of Ecclesia. That game was awesome. If you have a chance to play it, do so. I've heard some of the newer... I've heard okay things about, like, some of the recent 2D games. I heard Lords of Shadow was alright. I haven't heard anything much about it, but I could probably... there's another thing I could probably do a podcast on, is the Castlevania series, because that's just... that rabbit hole is deep. But moving on. Mega Man X5. I've talked about this. I talked about this in depth in my Mega Man podcast. I'll skip over it. Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater.
This is a game that I really want to play again, but I know I have to sit through all those cutscenes.
That's part of the fun.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad as 2.
Yeah, not as bad as 2.
Okay. Sorry, something just popped up that said Final Fantasy and just took my attention away. But Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater is was my favorite Metal Gear game that I've played. I have not played 4. I have not had the chance to, so I can't say 4 is better or worse. But for me, Snake Eater is my favorite Metal Gear game because it got a lot of things right.
Yeah, it had really good characters too, and a really good story.
I like the characters in general. Like I liked all the I don't remember the names, but they were basically the guys who
the fear. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
The fear, the pain, the end, the sorrow.
It was an astronaut, right?
Yeah.
The, And the something. I'm probably going to get the HD collection of Metal Gear when it comes out. Or eventually, so I'm going to play Metal Gear 2 and 3 and Horrible Ops.
I kind of want to play Peace Walker, but I don't have the system that plays it.
Well, is it Portable Ops that's on the HD collection?
No, I think it's Peace Walker.
Okay, yeah, that's the one. It's the one that's in continuity with 3.
All right. Let's see here. And, well, I'm going to stick another game on the end of my runner-up list besides Mass Effect, but Mass Effect is next on my list. Hmm. But the one game I
can... Your list of a dozen runner-up games.
Yeah. I played a lot of video games. No, seriously, I played a lot of video games. That's not a joke.
Okay, so your last one is...
Star Fox 64.
Okay.
Now, I played the hell out of Star Fox. I mean, seriously. I could pump the original. I actually wore out a Super NES controller because I played Star Fox so much on it. But... Star Fox 64, oh my god, that game was so good. The multiplayer was good. The single player is outstanding. The Star Fox series has never gotten better than Star Fox 64. And that saddens me a lot because there's been because right after Star Fox 64 was Star Fox Adventures. Oh god. But yeah, Star Fox 64 is awesome. If you haven't had a chance to play it, hey, guess what? You're going to get a chance if you have a 3DS.
And I'll probably add some games like Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie. But I probably wouldn't call them some of my favorites. But They're kind of worthy on my runner-up list.
But if we continue talking about video games...
Yeah, well, we can just talk about every game we like, which is kind of what the runner-up list has become. So, yeah, so you want to go over our main list one more time?
Alright, let's...
Well, I recapped mine, but it was Jak 2, Donkey Kong Country 2, Yoshi's Island, Mass Effect, Chrono Trigger, and Ocarina of Time.
Mine was Sonic 3 and Knuckles... Majora's Mask, Mega Man Legends 1 and 2, Deus Ex, and Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6. Randy?
I'm still here.
She's like, oh, you're just talking about Star Fox and what the crap and
We were talking about our top fives again, right?
Yeah, we're just making sure. Yeah, just listening.
Okay, because I wasn't going to like blurt something out and be stupid. So my top five, Primal Rage, Guilty Gear X, Accent Core Plus, Gears of War 2, Mortal Kombat 9, and Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Right. And those are our lists. I know if Jess was here, she would probably say Ocarina of Time or Wind Waker.
Yep.
Probably have the Jak series on there somewhere.
Why don't we see if we can gather up just a few more. Just like, all right, you know, we'll make another... Because we've been talking for a while now, so...
Yep, this podcast is done. You can email us your top five video game list at josephlfrog@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter at joseph_lfrog and dustwatts and Invictus Inferno, right?
Yep.
You can also follow us on Facebook. We're all under our real names there.
Well, more importantly, in terms of like my Facebook, you should look up Toonworks on Facebook. We have a Facebook page now.
They also have a Twitter.
At the Toonworks. You spell works like WERKS. And there's a Facebook page too where we'll be posting art. And a little update on Wonders Episode 2. It is coming along very nicely.
If anyone remembers Joey's old website, the Legendary Lilypad, we've kind of actually, the community that was there has kind of moved on, and actually the old forum actually closed down. It's lost.
That happened like a year and a half ago.
The old forum actually split off into its own site, and then about a month or two ago, it locked down, and that's it. And we've all moved on to a Facebook group called The Lily Pad. If
I am kind of surprised that anything still exists.
Dude, we've had, the community's kind of made its own. Well, we've kind of drifted apart because, you know, life goes on. But, I mean, we still keep in contact with each other. Because, dude, whether you realize it or not, you made a very good community out of your fans.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I was never really connected with that part of it very much.
You should have been more, but that such is life.
Well, because when I thought of the forums, I thought of, oh, God, hackers.
old times.
Yep. You want to pimp anything, Randy?
Nah, I'm not quite in a pimping mood. I don't really have any pimping.
Okay. To do. So, I think we're going to do something like this again at one point, but with movies. But
oh yes.
We'll see about that.
I'd like that.
We'll definitely get a Mark on here since he's a huge movie buff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And
I hope you can probably guess what was going to be on my. One of the movies on my list.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, you sound like RoboCop.
Oh, well, it's a good thing it happened at the end of this, was it like hour and a half podcast?
Yeah.
But so thanks for listening, and we'll have another podcast pretty soon. We're trying to get a Harry Potter one together.
I still haven't seen Deathly Hallows Part 2.
It was good. I liked it. But, okay, take care, everyone.
See ya.
Randy says bye, too. Okay, bye. We're done.
Randy, are you still there?
He's probably getting tired or distracted.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
You can meet me? Yeah, you forgot to say goodbye.
Yeah. I did say goodbye. I said it like twice.
We didn't hear you.
I must have been lagging out.
Oh, say goodbye now. We'll edit it in.
Burnettes!
There you go.
Whatever you just said. Yeah.
Nets.
I just heard us hearing nuts.
My gosh! All right, well, I've got to pee, so bye.
Okay, thanks for coming.